See, this is not just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. This is not just when the going gets tough, the tough get going. This is the truth of who Joshua is and who you are if you're a Christian, applied by yourself to yourself.
Welcome to The God-Centered Life with Josh Moody. Joshua chapter 1 is where we're focusing today. It's a study called You're on a Mission, and it's part of 4 Forgotten Truths about God's People. Josh Moody is senior pastor of College Church in Wheaton, and I'm Todd Bostee. Well, this is part 2 of our study, and last time we took a look at what the mission is. Today we're going to be discussing the power of the mission. And from that opening clip, Josh, it sounds like the admonition to be strong and courageous is more than just a poster to put on the bedroom wall.
It's about who we really are in Christ, who we really are as God's people, that we are the kind of people that God is calling us, therefore, because of who we are, to be strong and courageous. It's not simply a kind of lecture or admonition, or it's about identity.
It's more about identity than admonition.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Great. Well, let's jump in and get to it. This is part 2. We'll do a quick recap of what took place in part 1 and then into the new material for today. Here's Josh.
Well, go ahead and keep your Bibles open to the book of Joshua. We're beginning a new series today in that book, and we've called it the 4 Forgotten Truths of about God's People from the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is actually divided into 4 different sections. So there's chapters 1 to 5 that is all about the entrance into the promised land as God leads, and then chapter 6 to 12 is really a great list of all the conquests and the battles and all the rest. The third section, 13 through to 22, is a great catalogue of places and names and sort of geographical details. And frankly, when you read it these days, it can seem boring. It's like, why is that all in the Bible? But what you've got to understand is that is a record of how God has given you the land, that all that he has promised has come true, that he has been faithful. And you see, one of the big themes of the book of Joshua is the faithfulness of God, that he said it, he promised it, and he did it. And I don't know what you're going through these days. There may be something where you're wondering, is God truly going to be faithful to me? Can I actually trust that he will do what he said he would do? And here's the book of Joshua, and this list of different areas and places that he promised that he would give to God's people, and he did. And he will keep his promises to you too. As I say, the series that we're beginning is called The 4 Forgotten Truths About God's People. And we're going to look at those 4 truths over the next 4 weeks. The story so far in Joshua is that God had promised to Abraham that his descendants would inherit the promised land. And he had told Abraham there would come a time, as indeed happened, where his descendants would go into slavery into Egypt. And they were there for a long time. And then God, according to his promise, rescued his people from Egypt through the hand of his servant Moses. But now, so that's the backstory, now Moses is dead. And God's people are camped on the other side of the Jordan. And now it's up to Joshua, Moses' assistant, to lead them across the Jordan into the promised land. So that's the drama of the moment that we're in as we begin this book of Joshua. And the first of these 4 forgotten truths, we'll see why I've called them forgotten as we go through this series and through this sermon. It's intended to remind God's people who they are and what their purpose is, lest they forget, lest we forget. The first of these 4 forgotten truths about God's people is that we are on a mission. You are on a mission. We are on a mission. You see, it's often been observed that the book of Joshua has a parallel book in the New Testament, a companion book, a parallel book, a book that is kind of like Joshua in the New Testament. And that book is the book of Acts. Just as God's people were told to go into the promised land and to inherit the land that God had given them, so we as the New Testament people of God are told to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And the book of Acts describes the beginning of that as the message of the gospel goes from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. And we enter the land not with a physical sword, but with the sword of the Spirit of the gospel. And it's a call, therefore, to mission. You're on a mission. We, as God's people, are on a mission. And this first passage here, that's the first of the four forgotten truths that is about we're on a mission, has two parts to it. It's structured in two sections, and there are two parts of the sermon. And if you're taking notes, here they are. First, the place of mission, and then second, the power for mission. So the place of mission, and then the power for mission. And the place of mission is verses 1 to 6, and the power for mission, it sort of overlaps in verse 6, the structure of this message from God to Joshua. Then the power for mission is from verse 6 to the end of this message from God to Joshua in verse 9. So the place of mission, and then the power for mission. First, the place of mission. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is the backstory. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land. So this is the place. And then emphasize, as the place is described over and over again here, you'll see this, is that the land is a gift. Into the land that I am giving to them. You see, when God had first announced the promised land to Abraham, he said, I'm going to give you this land. And then is described the various parts of this land. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have, again, notice, given to you. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Well, then let me apply this, the place of mission, to us. First, just in two simple ways for you. First, individually, and then corporately for us as a church, as a congregation. I find a lot of people ask the question, where's the line? You know, how far is too far? Where can I go where I'm not a Canaanite, but I'm still a Christian? Where's the line? Wrong question. The right question is, what's your mission? So that's individually. And then corporately, that is for us as a church. The application, so I would make this, is this. See, a lot of people think of church as a museum. But church is neither a museum nor a market. Church is a mission. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. We're on a mission. That's what we're about. So first, the place of mission. And then second, a little more briefly, the power for mission. As I say, this runs from verse 6 as well and goes to the end of this speech of God's, this message of God's to Joshua that is now relayed to us in this book named after him. So the power for mission and the three tools, three resources that God gives to Joshua and gives to us for this mission. It's a big mission, raising your children, living for Christ in the world. What are the resources? What's the power for it? So the three resources, three tools for this power for mission.
Well, if you're like me, you love new tools. Josh has three of them coming your way in just a moment, but first, wanted to take a second to let you know, in just a few minutes, we'll have an opportunity for you to connect with us, reach out and communicate with us, maybe add some devotional resources to your library as well. We've got a website where we're collecting those things in an effort to help you grow in your God-centered life. We'll tell you about that momentarily, but right now, let's jump back in and get some new tools. Here's Josh.
The free tools, and the first is, be strong and courageous. And this is emphasized over and over again. So verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And then verse 9, be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. It's emphasized again and again here. It's also emphasized again and again throughout the book of Joshua. So what's going on here is when God first told Moses in the book of Deuteronomy to raise up Joshua as his assistant and train him to take God's people into the promised land, he told Moses to encourage Joshua, to give him courage and strength. And then in Deuteronomy 31, when Moses is commissioning Joshua, he says, be strong and courageous. And now when God is speaking to Joshua directly, what does he say? Be strong and courageous. See, this is not just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. This is not just when the going gets tough, the tough get going. This is the truth of who Joshua is and who you are if you're a Christian, applied by yourself to yourself. Look at it like this. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great Welsh preacher, would often say that the trouble with Christians is they listen too much to themselves when they should be speaking to themselves. You know, listening to yourself is, I'm not very good. I could never fulfill this mission. Who am I to be able to train my children? What kind of gifts do I have? How can I be a witness at work? How can I teach Sunday school? My sins are too bad for God to forgive. I'm useless. That's listening to yourself. Speaking to yourself is saying, God in Christ has forgiven my sins. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm a child of God. Nothing and no one can snatch me from his hand. And therefore, be strong and very courageous. That's the first resource. Who you are in Christ, and therefore be strong and very courageous. The second resource that God gives to Joshua and to us is the Bible. So he says, verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Then be careful to do according to all the law. The law is the English translation of Torah, which means the teaching. So when you see law in the Old Testament, you shouldn't think legalistic. You should think teaching. All the teaching that Moses, my servant, commanded you. And he describes what that means. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So it's the Torah, the teaching of Moses, which for us now is the Bible, the whole Bible, as we stand on the other side of Jesus' coming and New Testament Christians, the Bible. And what God is saying to Joshua is that he should stick to the Bible. Don't go to the right of it or to the left of it. That is, don't get more conservative than the Bible, more legalistic than the Bible, neither get more liberal or licentious than the Bible. Stick to the Bible. Neither to the right nor the left. Stay on the path. And then he tells him you should meditate on it day and night. And that doesn't mean he never did anything other than read the Bible. I mean, we know that when you read the book of Joshua, that he did a lot of other things. He fought a lot of battles. He presumably wasn't reading the Bible, but he was fighting. What it means is you should bookend each day, morning and night. Read the Bible in the morning, read it at night. Bookend each day. And then he says, do not let this law depart from your mouth, which is a fascinating phrase, because what you've got to understand is the ancients. So now, when we read to ourselves now, we read in our head. So if you go to Starbucks or something and you're reading a book there, and no one can hear what you're reading because you're reading in your head. You're just looking down and you're reading it. You can hear it in your head. But that ability to read in your head when you're reading, at this stage in human history, had not yet been discovered. And they didn't read like that. They read quietly, out loud, under their breath. If they were reading to themselves, they would have sort of muttered. It'd be like, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son. So it's in your mouth. Don't let it depart from your mouth. In other words, say it over and again. Say it to yourself. Read it. Reflect on it. Meditate. Don't let it depart from your mouth. And if you do that, God says, you'll be prosperous and very successful. That doesn't mean that you're going to get, you know, the BMW you always wanted, or the, you know, the four houses in Florida, or whatever it is you like. What it means is that word successful has the sense of comprehend, be wise. What it means is if you give yourself to the book of the law, if you give yourself to the Bible, then you'll understand what God wants. Then you understand the Maker's instructions. Then you understand His covenant promises. And of course, your life will be more effective as a result. You'll be wise. You'll know how to live. So that's the second tool, the Bible. Stick to the Bible. Neither to the right, to the left. Keep it in your mouth. Keep reading it, thinking about it, morning and evening. Then you'll be successful in the sense of then you'll be wise and know how to live. The third tool is perhaps the most precious of all, which is the very presence of God Himself. And again, this is emphasized, verse 5, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And then at the end, to top and tail, the emphasis at the end, don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, verse 9, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And once again, we're reminded, aren't we, of the New Testament commission of God's people to mission. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, for surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. What a tool, what a resource, what power for mission. That God Himself, Christian, is with you. That He will never leave you, Christian, and never forsake you, Christian. That the Spirit of Christ Himself dwells in you. That when you're on that hospital bed and no one is there, you're not alone. That when you're taking a stand for something at work and you feel like you're deeply unpopular and you're all alone, you're not alone. He's with you. He will never forsake you. And if that's true, that's power for mission. If He's with me, I can do it. So the place of mission and the power for mission. This is the first of the four forgotten truths about God's people. And I say forgotten because I believe the book of Joshua is written to remind God's people. We don't know exactly who wrote the book of Joshua. Perhaps it had elements of what Joshua himself wrote. I think, this is my conclusion at this point, at least in my life, I think probably put together by the prophet Samuel, Joshua stands as the first of the prophetic books in the Hebrew way of describing what we call the Old Testament, written, put together by the prophet Samuel. And after the book of Joshua came Judges. And we are told that a generation raised up that knew neither the works of God nor Joshua his servant, and they forgot. People of God, do not forget we have a mission. And that place of mission, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It's a gift, Jesus tells us, that He has won through the power of the cross. And there is power for that mission. Be strong and very courageous because Christ has saved you. That's who you are as a Christian, your identity. Be strong and very courageous because of the Word of God, the Bible that you have in your mouth, in your mind, and because He will never leave you nor forsake you. For there is a better and greater Joshua. The Hebrew Joshua translates the Greek as we express it in English, Jesus. And He is our captain. And with Him, we cannot fail. Oh, our Lord God, we do pray that you would help us as your people to be on mission for you. We pray, Lord, as we look around at the Canaanite society in which we live, we pray, Lord, that you would help us not to become sexually immoral, not to become abusive, to be different and separate, to be holy. We pray also, Lord, that you'd help us to be on mission, that we would reach out to the society around us, and not just to the society around us, to our children, our teenage children, our young children, to the students. And we pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, even now, you reach out and reclaim and rescue. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's Josh Moody, and this is the God-Centered Life. So we got our toolbox here. Let's recap the tools we put in it. First, we are in Christ. Second, we have God's Word. And then finally, we have the very presence of God. Now, those are really powerful things. But Josh, you're saying that even with all that, there's the possibility of us forgetting?
We're so human and so fallen, and we are given all the resources in Christ, and these are some powerful tools that we've just drawn out of the Bible, and yet you and I are liable to err and stray, and so we need God's grace through it all and his help and his empowering.
Can we say this is a community thing too? Because if we're connected in the community of God, we have help. Mm-hmm. Remembering, we have those reminding us. Is that one of the elements to stay away from forgetting?
We certainly need each other, don't we? We need each other to encourage one another. We need the support. Sometimes we need the correction. And so, yeah, I think that's a very good point, Todd. We tend, in the West at least, to think individualistically about our relationship with God. And, of course, we do have a personal, individual relationship with God, but we're also a part of the body of Christ, the church. And so we need to remind each other of these great truths and remind each other to use these great tools.
So we've got a lot of instances in the Old Testament where a pile of stones is put up. Mm-hmm. As a way of remembering. Mm-hmm. What's a modern-day equivalent of that?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer to that are the ordinances that Jesus teaches us, that baptism and the Lord's Supper are designed to remind us. When we're baptized, it becomes a remembrance stone in our lives that we really have become a Christian. It's intended to function that way. We can look back to our baptism and say, yeah, I made a good profession of faith. God, by his grace, saved me. Similarly with the regularity of communion. It's intended to be a remembrance stone. Hmm. Yes, Jesus really did die on the cross. Yes, it is for sinners. And yes, he invites me to his table to feast in the banqueting hall with the king. And it's intended to remind us of these truths.
Hmm. Fantastic. Thank you for that. Here's a quote. In spiritual warfare, Satan tries to deceive you into believing that God is holding out on you and that it's up to you to get God to give you both blessings and victory. Satan wants you to think that if you pray more, give more, serve more, sin less, or do better, or worship more, maybe God will give you more. This shifts the focus off of God and what he has already done in the spiritual realm and puts the focus on you. That's just part of the powerful information that's packed into the 64 pages of Tony Evans' little book, Winning Your Spiritual Battles. This is your last opportunity. End of the month, we're going to switch gears and go to a different offer next time we're together. So if you have been thinking about grabbing this, we encourage you to do so. Here's how that works. Go to GodCenteredLife.org. Any gift to help us spread gospel-centered teaching will be appreciated, and we'll say thank you by sending you this book by Tony Evans, Winning Your Spiritual Battles. That website again, GodCenteredLife.org. Next time we get together, gonna ask the question, are you risk averse?
And you know, real faith can often feel like risk. I don't mean, you know, you grew up in the church, or you went to Sunday school, or you went to a Christian school, or you know the creed. I mean real faith, trusting God, committing to him.
We'll continue our study in the book of Joshua when we get together next time. There's devotional resources that have been collected at GodCenteredLife.org. We encourage you to go there, and we would love to have you join us for the next edition of The God-Centered Life with Josh Moody.